probably one of the most, I'm going to say, in my studies through the years that I've been studying the Word, probably the one of the most overlooked fruits of the Spirit that a lot of us may not really talk about or may not think about. And so, who here can name some wild jungle animals? What's the first one that comes to your mind?
Lion.
Jaguar. Elephant. Jaguar.
Tiger.
Rhinoceros.
Tarzan.
A monkey? Is that what you said? A monkey? Tarzan. Right? Okay. Which animal is called the king of the jungle? Ooh, the lion. Why do you think lions are called the king of the jungle? They pretty much can do whatever they want, right? They're fierce and they're wild. Now, if you anybody been to a circus, there's somebody there called a lion tamer. Yeah? Have you ever seen somebody, a lion tamer, and they go around with, okay. In a sense that this lion tamer can control the lions. You know, from a perspective, it seems like he is in control. And the man can make the lion, who is naturally wild, right, do whatever it wants it to do. The man can make the lion do something that it may not want to do, like roll over, right? Or the lion tamer can keep the lion from doing something it naturally wants to do, like maybe eat the man, right? And so clearly we see here that the man has some control over that lion in that instance. Today we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at one of these wonderful fruits of the Spirit that we have. And like I said before, I believe that it's one that we overlook. And if we read, we don't have to read it, but I want to take you to where it's at in Galatians chapter 5, and we can read verses 22 through 25. But the one I want to really look at is the last one that's listed. What's the last one that's listed? Self-control. Self-control. And I think that if we really think about it, I believe if we really think about it, it probably is one of the most overlooked ones. One that we skim through thinking that we got it all down. You know? Or the one that we don't want to talk about. Amen? With self-control, we control ourselves. What that means is that we control our desires, our want-tos through self-control. We keep ourselves from doing something bad that we shouldn't do, and we make ourselves do something good that we should do. Amen? Self-control is a discipline that we need in life. How many of you say amen on that? It's, in the dictionary, I put it this way, it's a discipline of delaying impulse or delaying gratification for a greater purpose or a greater cause. When we exercise self-control, we are saying no for the sake of bigger and better things. And we're saying yes to those bigger and better things. We're trading something here. We're trading something in the here and now for something greater in the future. Amen? And so one way we do this, as an example, is we teach our children self-control when we make them eat their vegetables before dessert. or we try to make them eat their vegetables before dessert, right? We instill in them that they need to be doing something, a trade-off for something later on, and not get the instant gratification of dessert now, but get it later, you know, after we get all the vitamins and minerals that we need, right? That's kind of the reason for that. Well, at least my reason. I don't know your reasons. We look at teenagers, for example, and all through life, we try to teach them to practice self-control after a certain number of years, a certain age, to honor marriage. Because, well, let's look at that. Why? Why do we tell kids to abstain from having premarital sex? Because the Bible says so, right? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. I just want to point some scriptures out here because I believe that we need to look at self-control. We do this at least for the reason that we understand that we're not doing instant gratification now, for the understanding and the idea and the thought and the fact that there's going to be later better gratification. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not just being in a sexual way or I'm saying anything else. You can look at it from any other perspective, and it's, you're delaying it from being just now to being later, where we now live in a world that pretty much is all about give it to me now, and I don't care about what happens later. You follow me? In every way. I'm not just talking that, but I just want to point the scriptures out, what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, give honor, in verse 4, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. It says then, it continues. See, it says, God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery, right? So, in that instance, God is saying, this is a good thing, but you need to wait. You follow me? You need to wait, have that self-control to wait for a certain point of time. Right? And if we turn to Mark chapter 8, I don't want to go to Mark. Don't write that down. Cross that out. I didn't want to go to Mark. I don't know why I have that. If we look at, oh, maybe I was in the wrong chapter. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37 says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is there anything worth in your more than your soul? So the greatest reason that we practice self-control as Christians is because we choose Christ over the world. Amen? You see, we choose that later understanding than the right now. We choose to have that because we choose Christ before anything else. And Mark chapter 8, 36, is there anything worth more than your soul? I don't think so. God sent his only son to die for your soul. That's pretty costly. And so I think that in any instance, self-control is probably one of the biggest things that we need to tackle. And maybe we think it's one of the hardest things, but I don't think so. For the one who's in you is greater than the one that's in the world. I think we make excuses for our ability to not handle self-control. Your desires and my desires, your desires, tempt us every day. How many of us are in that boat? Every day we're tempted to do things from our physical desire or our man desire. Let's turn to 1 John. When you get to 1 John, say, yeah. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, when you get to this verse, say amen. 16. Now, I want you to remember what it says there in Mark 8, 36 and 37, and then understand that when we, as Christians, when we make that public announcement that we are saved, that we do accept Christ as our Savior, and when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit and we start to do this stuff, that we have made a decision that we choose Christ before we choose the world, right? And so here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, look, it says, for the world offers only cravings of the physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but of the world. So when we exercise self-control, we're understanding and saying that, look, I'm not from this world. I'm not of this world. So I'm not seeking out the cravings of this world. I'm not seeking out the pleasures of this world. I'm seeking out Christ. You see? And it says there in 15, it says, oh, I read 16, didn't I? Oh, that's what I wanted to read. Right? It says, and we'll go back to 15. It says, do not love the world nor anything in it. It says, really, for it has nothing to offer you. You see? So when we are believers in Christ and followers of Christ, that we have nothing to do with this world except we're in it trying to help it out, not to do the things in the world. You see? For the world only offers craving for physical pleasure and a craving for everything we see and a pride in all of our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are of the world. It keeps going, and 17 says, and this world is fading away along with everything people crave. You see, so whatever we crave now that's of the world is going to pass away, so there's that instant gratification. I need it now. I want it now, but it's going to pass away. You see, self-control. In order to develop self-control, I believe the Bible tells us we first have to be honest with ourselves. So if there are desires out there that tempt us every day, I think we need to be honest with ourselves and call those desires out and speak to them. Acknowledge that they're there, but we don't acknowledge their power over us. We can acknowledge that they exist. We can acknowledge that Satan exists, but it don't matter, you see. We can acknowledge that sickness is there, but, you know, God, Jesus is our healer. It doesn't have to have power over you, and your desires don't have to have power over you. Because we are bigger than those desires. You see, we are stronger than those desires. We are more than those desires because of who lives on the inside of you and I. And so with self-control, we have to be honest with ourselves and be honest about our weaknesses. And each one of us is different. Your weakness, my weakness, everybody's different. Everybody has different weaknesses and different desires taken on by our physical desires and the cravings of this world, right? And so we got to push that person down and push that person away. Some of us are tempted by overeating. Some of us are tempted by greed. And some of us are tempted by gossip, and the list can go on. Being aware of what tempts us makes it easier for us to overcome them because it gives it a name. It gives it a physical presence. It gives it a something that we can step over and say, I'm bigger than you. I'm better than you. It allows us to say to ourselves, I have a desire for, I don't know. What? I have a desire for I'm lusting after whatever it is, right? You're lusting after whatever it is. I don't know. You take a pick. Close your eyes and take a picture of what it is that you're thinking about, and that's what it is, right? Right, by naming it, you give it a physical presence, and you know what it is, and you can speak to it. You can speak it out of your life. You can speak it under your feet, right? You can stomp on it because you know what it is. We can take that then to God and say, hey, I speak to this in Jesus' name, out of my life, out of my desires. you know, if it's drugs or if it's alcohol or something like that, you can speak to it and it can be gone. If it's sex or pornography or whatever it is, it can be gone because you can speak to it. But if you don't call it out for what it is, then it's... Nobody knows. God, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's an outcome of having what? The Spirit on the inside. So we have self-control when we keep in step with the Spirit. Which means the Spirit then empowers us to overcome temptation. When we may get out of the Spirit, that's when temptation may overwhelm us. But when we're filled up with the Spirit, we can crush that temptation, you see? And Jesus, when he's tempted by the devil, he was filled up with the Spirit. And what did he do? Crushed that temptation. Spoke to that temptation. Spoke the word over that temptation. You see? When we're filled with the Spirit and we're filled up with the Spirit of self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of self-control, we can speak to that and it empowers us to overcome that temptation. And if you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 25. You know, and sometimes I think that I get tempted and it's like I can't get past this. I can't get past this point. It's always coming at me. It's always coming at me. I got to remember that I have the Spirit of God, that I can overpower that. That I can step over that and say, no, I'm not succumbing to that. I don't have to do that. I'm bigger than that. I'm better than that. Amen. Proverbs chapter 25, in the Word, verse 28, in my version, in New Living Translation, it says, a person without self-control is like a city with a broken down wall. What happens when we have walls broken down? In those days, a city was surrounded by walls. For why? What reason? Protection, right? So when those walls were broken down, there was no protection. And think about the temptations come from who? The enemy. So when we're not having self-control, then we break, those walls are broken down, and who can come in? The enemy. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And when we don't address the broken down wall, or we don't address the temptations, all we're doing is giving a blind eye to that, pushing that temptation away, saying, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. And then what happens? Temptations come in and come in and come in until maybe we're overtaken. But if we're filled with the Spirit and filled with the fruit of the Spirit, then self-control is always there. And we can speak to that temptation. We can speak the word over that temptation, and that temptation has to go. Amen? In the book of Galatians again, let's move there. In chapter 5, in my Bible, it has a heading that says, living by Spirit's power. When we live by Spirit's power, we are showing the fruit of the Spirit. So here in chapter 5, verses 16 and on, we're going to read about 9 verses here or so. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let's just read it. Verse 17 says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And when the Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions, but when you are directed by the Spirit, You are not under obligation to the law of Moses. And verse 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins. Can you get any more than that in there? That book covers a whole lot of temptation and a whole lot of stuff we can get into. It says, let me tell you again, at the end of verse 21, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes on. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. Verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. And if that means self-control, that means that whatever comes at us, we have to have self-control. Whatever desires come up, we have to have self-control. If we're not practicing self-control, then we're not practicing living by the Spirit. Fruit is an end product of something else. A tree is planted, it grows, and the end product is its fruit, right? A person accepts Jesus, then it grows and grows and grows, and the end product should be its fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control is in there. First Peter. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, I want to read verses 13 and 5 through 15. It says this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, so prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Verse 14, so you must live as God-obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living and satisfy your own desires, but have that self-control. That doesn't say that, but you didn't know any better, verse 15. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. That takes self-control. Because the temptations of the world come at you, therefore you have to be able to stop that like the wall of the city. Whatever comes at you that is a desire in your physical self, you have to say, no, I have to have self-control to stop that. If not, you're like a person, you're like a city with a broken wall. You're just letting that in. And when we let those sinful desires come in, it starts to mess with our fruit. It starts to mess with how we're growing or how we're doing because it's coming at us. Like a disease comes at us and it just spreads and spreads and spreads, and then more comes in, more comes in, more comes in. And then we make excuses, and then we're like, oh yeah, come on, oh that's okay, oh that's okay, it's all right. And we keep going down that path. I like what it says in the beginning of verse 13. It says, so prepare your minds for action. Exercise self-control. Now why would it tell us to prepare our minds for action by exercising self-control? Because these desires are going to come at you. These desires from our man are going to come at you. Therefore, what would we have to do as followers of Christ? We have to build that wall and exercise self-control. The First John, let's go back to First John. Part of what we're talking about is, you know, back to the basics, you know, back to these things, the truth about this and the truth about that. And God led me to tell the truth about self-control and what that really means. Like I said, I think it's an overlooked thing that we don't really talk about. We know that it should be there, but we don't really say a whole lot about it. We kind of just let people figure it out. But I think we need to talk about it. Otherwise, I don't think people will figure it out. Because I think they push it back to the back. Say, oh, love. You got to love. You got to be patient. You got to be kind. You got to be gentle. And they don't talk about having self-control. 1 John. Chapter 2. Verses 15. I'm going to read a couple verses here. It says this: Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. If we stop right there, wouldn't the things that the world offers you be the desires that are sinful? For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Like we read before, for the world offers only craving for the physical pleasure and craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from the world. So then how do we have this kind of control over our own thoughts and actions? How do we go about with this self-control? And let's do it this way. Let's do an example. Let's say you're going to this festival at your school or at your work, and there are all kinds of games to play and all kinds of stuff, and you decide to try this game called Cakewalk or whatever. So you walk around in these things and has this numbers on the floor, and I don't know if any of you ever did a cakewalk game where you walk around and when the music stops, kind of like musical chairs, and you stop and that's the number and you win a cake. And say you stop on the right number and you won. And it's a huge chocolate cake. How many of you like chocolate cake? If you don't like chocolate cake, then just imagine we said the cake that you like. All right? Personally, I like strawberry cake. That's just me. All right? And so let's say you have this huge chocolate cake and that's your favorite thing to eat and you hold up this chocolate cake and yes, I love this chocolate cake and you probably could eat that entire chocolate cake. But you know that you probably shouldn't eat the whole thing. And why not? Well, because it's not good for you. It's a lot of sugar and a lot of other things that are probably not good for you. It probably might make you sick if you ate an entire chocolate cake. Right? And so there are two ways in which you could keep yourself from eating that cake. Somebody could stop you, number one, or you could stop yourself. Somebody in your family, your mom or your wife or your husband or whatever it is, could take it away from you. They could hide it. Or you could just resist eating the whole thing. Which option sounds better for you, or which option sounds like self-control? Yeah, choosing not to eat the whole thing yourself rather than having somebody take it from you. Right. Self-control is not when somebody else keeps you from doing something. It's when you keep yourself from doing something. Self-control is not me coming to your house and not letting you do something I know you're not supposed to do and you know you're not supposed to do. That's not self-control. Self-control is you doing it yourself. Is you saying, no, I don't need that. No, I'm not like that. Just like the lion who prowls around the jungle and roars at humans, right, and roars at those other animals, our natural self, our sinful nature, wants to do bad things sometimes. Maybe that's just me. You can think to yourself what some of those bad things would be. And those are the things that your natural sinful self wants to do. You might want to grab what you want to do right away. You might be walking through a store and you see this thing. Oh, that's nice. All right. You might see somebody else's thing. Oh, you know what? I love that pen. I'm going to take that pen for myself. You might want to hit somebody. You might want to yell at somebody when you're angry. You might want to push somebody when they get in front of you. You might want to, when people are driving and they cut you off, you might want to say something and give them a little gesture. You might want your own way instead of thinking of others. These are all actions that we have to control ourselves. These are all things that we have to control. All this stuff, we have to control that, right? We have to be able to control what's happening, right? There are some good things that we probably should do that our natural self just doesn't want to do. How many of us have been through that, where there's probably some good things, you know, and we just don't want to do it? We should get up, get ready for school. We should get up, get ready for work. We should get up and do chores. We should get up and pray. We should probably get up and read our word sometime. You know, these are all things that maybe you don't want to do that you should do. Oppositely, those were things that maybe you don't want to do that you do. See, Paul talked about that. He says, I keep doing what I don't want to do, and I'm not doing what I know I should do or what I want to do. And this is where this all comes into play. Self-control is a tricky phrase, you know, because it says self-control. You know, it's self-control. There's no other person that can do it for us. You have to do it for yourself. But just because it says self-control doesn't mean that you're alone. Doesn't mean that you're on your own. Amen? Who lives inside of you? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us, and He's the one. The Holy Spirit is the one that's really going to give us the power, you see, of the Spirit. Because it's self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So who really gives you the power to do self-control? The Spirit. So when we believe in Jesus and we are filled with the Spirit, just like Jesus is filled with the Spirit, Luke 4:1, we can have self-control just like Jesus. And when we depend on the Spirit to guide us, there we'll find self-control. When we depend on ourselves to guide us, there we'll find what we talk about, what we've talked about before. We do what we don't want to do, and we don't do what we want to do. When we try to control it ourselves. But when we rely on the Spirit that fills us on the inside, then there is where self-control lies. So no matter what's going on around us, we can keep from doing wrong things, and we can do the right things. Because the fruit of the Spirit that lives on the inside is self-control. Let's turn your Bibles to Titus. Titus is right after 2 Timothy, before Philemon. Titus chapter 2, verse 12, says, "And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God." That means we need to exercise self-control. As Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit-filled people, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So just like we say we can judge people by their fruit, or we can tell by their fruit, that means we can tell by their fruit of not having self-control if they either are spirit-filled or not spirit-filled. You see what I'm saying? Just like love, joy, peace, patience, we can say that. If it says to judge, you know, you can judge by their fruit, then we can look at that and say, oh, self-control, not there. Oh, okay. But it's like I said, I think we overlook that. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we able to look at ourselves? Can you look in a mirror and say, can I look in a mirror and say, Mitch, is what you're doing exercising self-control? Is your life and everything you decide to do exercising self-control? I think that has to be where it starts. And we can ask ourselves that of every fruit of the Spirit. Am I exercising love? Am I walking out peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Am I walking out in all of those things? The last scripture I want to really harp on and touch on, it comes from the book of John. John chapter 15, verse 5. It says, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Speaking that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. All that to say, to define that we need to practice self-control and be that as a showing of who we are, followers of Christ. Self-control has to be one of those fruits that I think has to be lived out. People can really tell if we are practicing self-control, exercising self-control, by just the way we live our life. And when we can do that, when we can understand that it is the power on the inside of you that will actually give you the ability to exercise self-control, there is where we can overcome temptation. There is where you can overcome the temptation to drink and get drunk or to drown your sorrows in alcohol. There is the temptation to not to exercise the respect of marriage and what goes on there. In that spirit-filled, that's where we can exercise self-control. The not doing the drugs and being out of our spirit mind and being in a physical mind, you know, having the right mind and the mind of Christ, that's where self-control plays a factor. And that's where Jesus and the love of Jesus on the inside plays a role in allowing us to be over our sinful desires, to be over the temptations that we have and to crush them and to step over them and say, no, I'm stronger than this desire. I can get through this. I have the walls built up to keep out the enemies. I'm building the walls up to keep that temptation out. I'm spirit-filled and I have the power of Christ on the inside to not do the things in which I know I'm not supposed to do. Amen? It's time for us to exercise self-control. It's time to step out in being spirit-filled because He, the Spirit, is what empowers you to overcome temptation, to exercise self-control. And that's the truth about self-control. That's the truth about self-control. Amen? Amen. Thank you for coming. Hopefully, the definition and the Bible teaching of what self-control really is speaks to you, and you can go out and have a better understanding of that. We need to have self-control in order to get over our temptations and not just always going back to this and always backstepping and always backsliding, that you have the power on the inside of you to not have to go backwards but to keep moving forward. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this time we get to spend together in your word. Thank you, Father, for your word is true and everything just reigns true in our lives from your word. And thank you for the teaching that you give us to allow us to activate us and to exercise our spirit-filled life and to live out loud and to be the followers that you called us to be, Father. And I just pray a special blessing to each one here, that your spirit reigns true in their lives, that they can look in the mirror and they can say honestly that I'm living spirit-filled, fruit-bearing life. And thank you, Lord, for the power that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, have a good week. Have a blessed week. There's Spanish service tomorrow night at 6. We have service on Sunday. Please be here. God is good. And all the time, God is good. God bless you. I love you. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.